The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Eschatological salvation, our topic of today. One rather big word there. What would be the difference in this and eternal life? Are there different ways theologians use this term? It's going to be the topic of our discussion today, right here on Grace in Focus, and we're just delighted that you're joining us today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Please go to our website to know more about us, and especially we want you to note our annual national conference coming up in May 17th through the 22nd. Early bird discount registration is being offered at the moment, and if you're a first-timer, registration is waived. Find out more at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Well, Mike, I think you have a question there from Libby about an article she read on our website.
Yeah, she read this article discussing Hebrews 5:11 to 6:12, I believe was by Paul Tanner back in 2001 in our journal. And she says the article concludes by saying the inheritance in view is eschatological salvation and full participation in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, entering God's rest and ruling jointly with Christ. And she doesn't know what eschatological salvation is versus eternal life. And so if you could make it clearer for her, she'd really appreciate it.
Okay, that's a really good question. Okay, so eschatological refers to the Greek word eschatos. Eschatos means last. And just a quick funny side note, when I taught second year Greek at Multnomah School of the Bible the 1 year I was there, the head of the Greek department told me I should give all the students Greek names. So we had a guy in the class named Tim, and I was supposed to call him Timoteus or something, but he always came late to class. He was like 30 seconds late, a minute late, 2 minutes late. So I called him Eschatos because he was always last.
If anyone fall asleep in class, you call them Eutychus.
I like that. Very good. Acts chapter 20, yeah. Eschatological just refers to last days. In fact, one of the 10 aspects of systematic theology is the study of eschatology, the study of the last days. So eschatological salvation is just last days salvation. And I should say that the way Paul Tanner is using that term is different than the way most Bible scholars would use the term. Now, most pastors would never use this word because it's kind of a highfalutin kind of thing.
Yeah, I had problems pronouncing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not spelled like it sounds and everything. But eschatological salvation just refers to some sort of deliverance or some sort of experience that's going to occur on the last days. And most Bible scholars by this mean salvation that's going to be given out at the great white throne judgment. So most Bible scholars believe there's only one judgment after this life, one eschatological judgment. They say the judgment seat of Christ is another name for the great white throne judgment. All these judgments we see, the judgment of the sheep and goats, that's another name for the great white throne judgment. Most people are not dispensationalists. They don't distinguish between the judgment seat of Christ and the judgment of the sheep and the goats and the great white throne judgment. And they say that the great white throne judgment, those people who are not cast into the lake of fire, but who go into Jesus' kingdom, those are people who win eschatological salvation.
So for these folks who also, I guess they would view eternal life as something you get in the future.
Exactly.
They equate eschatological salvation and everlasting life.
Yes, they do. Now, they might say that you get some sort of experience of everlasting life now, but you don't get the final experience of it until later. But most of them say something like for example, among Calvinists, they will say you get initial salvation. That's what they call it, initial salvation now, and you get final salvation at the great white throne judgment.
But the way I guess it's being used in this article, it's actually really eschatological salvation is eternal reward.
Yeah, read it again. What did he say? Didn't he say about full participation and rulership?
Yeah. The inheritance in view is the eschatological salvation and full participation in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, entering God's rest and ruling jointly with Christ.
So, full participation, entering his rest, and his rest, which Paul talks about earlier in the book, is basically that Israel will have rest from its enemies, and all the people of God will have rest from our enemies. And then he talks about ruling with Christ. So it's essentially a full participation as opposed to a less than full participation, and ruling with Christ as opposed to not ruling with Christ. In Paul Tanner's view, and my view, this passage is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And let me point out that the word salvation occurs elsewhere in Hebrews. A few verses before this, and by the way, this is one of the warning passages in Hebrews. There are five warning passages, and the warning is that if the believers depart from the faith and go back into Judaism and animal sacrifices, then they're not going to enter God's rest. They're not going to have full participation in Christ's kingdom. They're not going to have the full abundance of life they could have had forever. And they're not going to rule and reign with Christ. So that's the warning. The warning is not that they're going to somehow miss the kingdom. That's impossible. But if you look at chapter 5 and verse 9, just a few verses before this, it's very interesting. This is the only verse, believe it or not, Mike, in the entire Bible that uses the expression eternal salvation. Would you read it?
And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him.
Doesn't that sound a bit odd?
Yeah.
Why?
Eternal salvation is conditioned on obeying Jesus.
Yeah. It's not conditioned on faith in him.
There's no mention of that.
Not only that, but if you read the context in verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So we gain eternal salvation if we suffer with Christ. And that's what the author of Hebrews is calling the readers to do. If they continue to follow Christ, they're going to continue to receive persecution from the Jewish unbelievers, which I think the readers were in North Africa. We're not really sure. They're in some wilderness area. This could be North Africa. It could be somewhere south of Israel in the desert region, but, you know, not necessarily North Africa.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
But in any case, wherever the readers were, they were in danger of going back into Judaism. And if they did, they would not gain this eternal salvation. And the eternal salvation is ruling with Christ. It starts in chapter 1 and verse 14. It talks about angels. It talks about God sends out angels, particularly for a certain kind of person. Could you read that one?
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?
Notice, it doesn't say sent out for those who have salvation. This is a future inheritance. You cannot say that you and I have whatever this future salvation is now. And it's real clear as you read the whole book that this future salvation is conditional on abiding in Christ. Fidelity to Christ. Hodges, in his commentary on Hebrews in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, he cites chapter 1 and verse 9 to say what this salvation is. Could you read 1:9?
You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions.
Yeah, now that's talking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's saying that he's been anointed with the oil of gladness more than all his companions. The word for companions is the Greek word metakos or metakoi in the plural. And it's used in Luke 5 to refer to John and his brother James, who were part of a fishing business, and they had partners who were helping them mend their nets. So evidently his father Zebedee was very rich, or at least well-to-do.
Enough and to hire some hired hands.
They had hired hands for their fishing business. It wasn't any little enterprise. And so they had what are called partners. Well, Jesus is going to have partners in the life to come. I mean, we know we've always heard this expression, guardian angels. It comes from Hebrews 1:14. Guardian angels are for the believers who are currently living victoriously. We're not going to have a guardian angel if we're off in the far country like the prodigal son in Luke 15. While we're in the far country, our angel there is not helping us anymore. We're now in a situation where the Holy Spirit is convicting us. The Holy Spirit is bringing about negative consequences to bring us back. If you read Luke 15, he experiences famine, he experiences want, he experiences hunger. He comes home a barefoot wreck, and his dad immediately gives him a robe and a ring and the sandals and slays the fatted calf for him because fellowship with God is the best. That kind of symbolizes what is true in this life and what can be true in the life to come. In this life, the abundant life is for those who are in fellowship with God.
So a key to understanding Hebrews is when Hebrews speaks of salvation, it's not talking about salvation from hell. It's talking about salvation as in not being shut out from ruling and reigning and being partners with Jesus Christ and his kingdom.
Exactly. And unlike Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where salvation is an already accomplished fact, by grace you have been saved through faith. That's something which happened in the past and has an abiding result. In Hebrews, it's future. In 1:14, those who will inherit salvation. In 5:9, he's the author of those who obey him. Well, this obedience has to continue. If the obedience stops, you're not going to gain this future salvation.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's different than what you get in John 3:17. He didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Or Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Instead, this is a future salvation. And read my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, my chapter on salvation. I point out that in the New Testament, 70% of the time, salvation does not refer to regeneration or eternal life. Most of the time, it refers to some other kind of deliverance.
And in this case, it's a future salvation, and that's what we mean by eschatological salvation.
Exactly. So that's what we mean. And good question, Libby. And all of you really need to study the scriptures and decide, okay, is what Paul's saying in this article true? Is that really what the book of Hebrews is about? I will tell you, it really opens the book. When I took the course on Hebrews from Zane Hodges, it just blew my mind how this opened the book up. And not only that, it opens up the whole New Testament. I'd encourage you to study that out. But in the meantime,
keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, is there hierarchy in heaven? And what are the differences in Greek manuscripts of the New Testament? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.